Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is the America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio segment. For those that don't know what the Great Loop is, it's the continuous waterway around the eastern half of the United States, and our association is made up of members who are interested in doing the Great Loop, have done it, or just want to share the adventure. If you'd like to join, you can go to our website at www.greatloop.org and click join. Or, if you prefer, you can give me a call, 877-478-5667, and I'm at extension 50. This is Janice Cromer. Our guest this week is Bob Duffy of Duffy Learning. Bob is a lecturer. He speaks often on the Great Loop, and he produces CDs about the different rivers and the Great Loop. We have with us, again, as usual, Beth and Steve from the Homeport crew.
Good morning, everyone. Hello.
If anyone has any questions at all during the show, you can call in. Bob would be happy to answer them. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. We will also have our question of the week, and for those regular listeners, we are going to repeat last week's question, since no one answered it correctly. The first caller who does answer it correctly gets a free one-year renewal or one-year membership if you're not already a member, and I hope you did your research after the show last week. Bob, why don't we get started?
Okay, thank you, Janice. Well, let's talk about cruising up the Tennessee River, which is something you should not miss, especially if you're going to the rendezvous. Think about at least going all the way to Chattanooga. Now, before you do the Tennessee River, you need a chart book, and you need Fred Meyer's Tennessee River Cruise Guide. Fred covers all the marinas and anchorages. And if you find an anchorage or marina that's not in Fred's book, there's always a reason. So use caution. Now, you can get the guide as a book, a print book, or a PDF version, which is on the Tennessee River CD-ROM, along with more than 3 hours of narration and 1,000 photos. Now, the chart books may be hard to get. Your best bet is to buy them at marinas. So when you're in a marina, check it out. Green Turtle Bay, if you stop there, that's probably the best way. But they've been in short supply, and we're not sure if the Corps of Engineers is even publishing them anymore. Now, what you can do is search Google for Tennessee River navigation charts. And that will take you to a page that lists all the charts, and you can download them and then save them on your computer and print them out if you want. The problem is there's more than 100 pages now, but that can be a good backup if you have them saved on a computer, because you can use them on the computer when you need to for planning purposes. Now, when you're planning the trip, first thing to keep in mind is as of the 1st of November, there's only 11 hours of daylight. So you can't go running for 14, 15 hours. You do not run rivers at night. From the Kentucky Dam Marina, which is at mile 22, to Chattanooga, is 422 miles. At trawler speeds, at 50 miles a day, that's going to take you 9 days to get to Chattanooga from Kentucky Dam. The Fort Loudoun Lake is 12 days, so 3 more days. But that gets you to cover Watts Bar Lake, which is the most beautiful lake on the trip. If you get to Fort Loudoun, you got to add another day to get to Knoxville and the end of the river. So in total, to do the entire river one way, we're talking about 13 days. Now, that's pretty tough going. When we did it, we took 16 days up and 12 days to get back to Joe Wheeler, where we attended the rendezvous. Above all, don't miss Chattanooga. The Grand Canyon of the river is just before Chattanooga, and it's one of the most incredible sights on the entire Great Loop. And I'll talk more about that. So the minimum trip you want to consider is getting to Chattanooga. But if you have the time, go all the way up. Now, the first lake you're on is Kentucky Lake. It's very wide. It's gorgeous. But it does narrow above the I-40 bridge when it becomes a relatively narrow river. The marinas on Kentucky Lake are Ken Lake Marina, Ken Lake State Park, Paris Landing State Park, Pebble Isle, Clifton. The town of Clifton has a brand new marina there, or Mermaid. There's also lots of anchorages all the way down, or almost all the way down, until you get close to the dam. And they're all listed in the cruise guide. You'll go through your first lock at Pickwick, and there's three places to stay after clearing the lock: Pickwick State Park, Tennessee State Park, Grand Harbor, and Aqua. Aqua's right on the Tennessee. It's right at the corner of the Yellow River. Aqua's another mile or so up the Yellow River, which is the beginning of the Ten-Tom waterway. Now, Aqua has a haul-out and can do work on your boat if you need to, like changing props, cleaning the bottom, painting the bottom, that kind of thing, or more complicated work. Now, after Pickwick, you want to stay at Florence Harbor, the city of Florence. It's a city-owned city-owned marina, and it has a very good restaurant there. They have a courtesy car which will let you drive downtown if you need to get groceries or if you just want to see the downtown. It's an interesting small town in Alabama. Now, then you'll go through a lock, Wilson Lock, and a relatively short distance after that, you go through the Wheeler Lock. The best place to stay on Wheeler is the Joe Wheeler State Park. But you're probably going to stay there on the way back, and it's not very far from Florence. So keep going, and Decatur's the next stop, and Riverview Marine is a good spot. It's right in the middle, on an island in the middle of the river. Decatur's also a nice old town to tour. There's many old homes there, and there's some good restaurants there. You can take a taxi relatively inexpensively from the marina to downtown. The next place to stay would be at Huntsville at Ditto Landing. It's a city-owned marina. It has a nice bike trail, but taking a taxi to town is quite expensive. Now, a better option is to rent a car after the rendezvous and then drive to Huntsville. And, Janice, are you going to be offering tours of Huntsville this year? But Bob Stagg, who usually attends the rendezvous, he'll get you lined up for tours. Now, the other thing you got to watch is that it gets cold after the 1st of November on the river. And, you can get frost in the morning, which means there's going to be ice in the docks, and it's very slippery, so you've got to use caution. The other thing is you often get fog in the mornings this time of year, and you've got to be cautious going out of the marinas, getting on the river again. Usually the tows stop. They don't operate in fog, so you can proceed, but only if you have radar. Now, the next lake is Gunderfield's Lake. And it's a gorgeous sight when you go through the lock. You have these high hills all around you and wide open water once again. Because from Decatur on, you're on Narrow River. A good marina on Gundersville Lake that's relatively close to the dam is the All Red Marina. And if you stay there, you want to use their courtesy car and go to the Top of the River restaurant in Gundersville. Now, there's a state park there high up on the mountain, and there's what I would call a day dock I think you can tie up to, but I don't think it's available for overnight. But and they may come down to the dock and drive you up to the top, but there's a beautiful state park hotel on that mountain. At this point, you're going to start heading north. Now, the thing you have to be aware of on Gundersville Lake from this point on is milfoil, huge mats of milfoil growing outside the channel, fortunately. Whatever you do, don't go outside the channel and get mixed up in milfoil because you can really get stuck. It can wrap all around your prop and you won't be able to move. Even if you reverse the engine and spin it off the prop, within another few feet, you're going to be all tangled up in milfoil again. Now, the really great marina to stay at on the northern part of Gundersville Lake is Goose Pond Colony. It has a fabulous restaurant called The Dock, and you can walk to it from your boat slips. Be sure to try their shrimp and grits. And if you do, you'll become a true Southerner. The first time I ever had it, and I've lived in the South for 2 years now, was at Goose Pond, at The Dock at Goose Pond Colony.
You're making me hungry again.
The channel in the Goose Pond is kept free of milfoil. So you won't, even though it's narrow, you won't have a problem getting in there. But again, stay in between the buoys. Now, that there's a town near Goose Pond called Scottsboro. It's the county seat. It's a beautiful little town. And it's famous for having the unclaimed baggage store. And if you want to see the stuff that people leave on planes, that's the place to go. You just can't believe all the things that they have for sale there. And they have a courtesy car at Scottsboro you can use to get in. Janice?
Okay, we're ready for our question of the week. For those of you who haven't traveled that far on the Great Lakes, I'm giving you a hint. But what is the largest body of water? I'm sorry, the sixth largest body of water on the planet. Which body of water that is part of the loop would be that body of water? The call-in number is 877-497-1815. First person to answer correctly gets a one-year membership or a one-year renewal. Bob, why don't you pick up with Hale's Bar, and if we need to, we'll interrupt.
Okay. Well, the next lake after Gundersville is Nickajack Lake. And again, like all the dams on the Tennessee River, you'll be traveling through a fairly narrow part of the river before the dam, but as soon as you get up, then the river widens out and it's just gorgeous. Now, there's an anchorage soon after the lock, and again, the cruise guide has the details on how to find it. But Hale's Bar Marina is quite interesting because it's built at an abandoned hydro plant that was put up back in the early 1900s, and they soon discovered that it was on limestone bedrock that was undermined by the water. And they had to tear down the dam and move it down to where the dam is today. But what's left is the power station, and the marina is using it now as boat storage. Now, the next 33 miles are the most spectacular. It ranks with the North Channel. It ranks with the Hudson River as the most spectacular views on the Great Loop. And it's known as the Grand Canyon of the Tennessee. It's 33 miles long. You want to do it in the morning when the river's calm and you get the reflections on it and the sun is in the right place. It's coming from the east. It's not in your eyes all the time, in spite of the fact because you're headed north. And there's all kinds of history that you'll pass by. Now, you're also going to pass by the Raccoon Mountain, what's it called, storage facility. What they do on the river in that part, at night they pump, when there's low demand for power, they pump the water up this mountain and store it in a lake on the top. Now, and then in the daytime when they need the power, they let the water flow down through a generating station back into the river. Now, one problem with this is the river levels go up and down then. They're low at night, and they come back up during the day. It's really not a problem except that the one marina in Chattanooga, the first one you come to on the right-hand side, and where they have slips that go out into the river and there are bars going across. And one time when we got in there, we got stuck and couldn't get out until the water rose again. But on the floating docks of Chattanooga, there's no problem at all. Now, you absolutely want to stay in Chattanooga at least a day. It is the finest town, I would say, anywhere on the rivers, on the inland rivers, by far. And Chattanooga's just done amazing things at fixing the town up. Now, recently, or yesterday, there's been a post in the forum about security at the dock. You've got to use your own judgment. I've been there twice. I've never had a problem with unwelcome people boarding my boat. Kind of follow the rules if you're going to stay there. Stay beside other boats. And this time of the year with loopers, there should be a number of boats staying there. It's a really good dock. And one thing to do is don't tie your line to the cleats on the dock. Wrap your lines around the cleat, take them back on your boat, and tie them down on your boat. That prevents kids from undoing your lines. But that hasn't been the problem. It's more, a homeless person boarded a boat. You can see in the forum. But that's not a reason to not stay in Chattanooga. Now, make sure you go to the two aquariums. And at one of them, you may see Jeff and Susie Parker. They're members of AGLCA. They're on the loop now. They left their boat on Lake Michigan. But they spend a lot of time volunteering at the aquariums, and they dive in, and they're inside the tanks cleaning the glass, so you can wave to them there. You can go to the Hunter Art Museum. It's right up the hill from the floating dock marinas. The Bluffview Art District is just up the hill. The Walnut Street Pedestrian Bridge is there, and from it you can walk across to Coolidge Park. There's all kinds of restaurants in Coolidge Park, and there's some neat shops in the area over there on the other side of the river. If you want to go downtown, when we were there, there's free buses that can take you around. If you go over to the Coolidge Park, by the way, there's a merry-go-round there, and Susie Parker's father donated the merry-go-round and carved a full-size horse. That's a weather vane on top of that merry-go-round. So there's lots of AGLCA connections in Chattanooga. Now, if you don't stay downtown, then the next, you've got to go to Chickamauga Lake, which is through the lock and up. It's not close to downtown. You're going to have to take taxis or rent a car if you stay there to get downtown. The first marina you'll see is on your starboard side. That's the Chickamauga Marina. And there's two more all listed in the guidebooks on the other side of the river. But if you continue on the cruise up to Watts Bar Lake or Knoxville, make sure you stay at Shady Grove Marina. It's small. It's the friendliest marina we encountered on the entire loop. And there's a great dock where you can all the loopers can assemble and have a party. There's a town near there. There's also a really good restaurant just up the road. But don't attempt to cruise up the river to the marina because there's a low bridge. But the marina will loan you a pontoon boat you can use to get up to that that restaurant. But if you got that far, keep going to Watts Bar Lake. You're going to go by the Hiawassee River. There's sort of a loop you can take around an island in the Hiawassee. There's Garrison Bluff, which is an interesting mountain there. And on top, there's a hacking station where they train eagles how to fly on their own. Sort of orphaned eagles, I guess it is. The town of Dayton is just up there where the famous Scopes trial, the monkey trial on evolution was held. And that courthouse is still there. It's exactly the way it was when the trial was held back in the 20s. I'd use caution going up the river, a couple of miles up the river. It's better, actually, if you've rented a car in Chattanooga or up in Knoxville, then use a car to visit these towns along the river. That's it. Watts Bar is just gorgeous. It's a wild lake. It's very beautiful. There's some big islands in it. There's good marinas there. The best known are Blue Springs and Yuchi. One of the owners of Blue Springs has been a member of AGLCA and has a Grand Banks trawler there. At Kingston, Tennessee, there's nowhere to tie up. It's another interesting town along the river. It's actually on the Clinch River, which empties into the Tennessee, and that's where the infamous ash spill from the TVA dam ash storage occurred. But I think that's all cleaned up now. It cleaned up pretty quickly. At mile 574, you're going to see a gorgeous Victorian home up on the shore and some barns and things. That's the Whitstone Country Inn, and it's rated as one of the top 10 romantic inns in one of the magazines that rates such places. You can't stop there, but it's, again, something you might want to drive to. Now, Fort Loudoun Lake, there's a marina at the Fort Loudoun Dam, or there's a marina in downtown Knoxville. There's also a marina now on the Little Tennessee River. Now, so there's a split there. You go up the dam, and then you can either go to Knoxville on the Fort Loudoun Lake, or you can go to take the Little Tennessee on the Teleco Lake to see the mountains. That's the best place to see mountains. And there's a few clear-cut hills covered in mansions, if that's your thing. You can also maybe arrange to visit with Stubbs because they have a place on the river, on the Little Tennessee River. Now, if you really want to see clear-cut hills covered in mansions, then you want to go to Knoxville. The other reason you want to go to Knoxville is if you love football, because they play the football games there, and people raft 14 boats deep out into the river, which gets pretty exciting if a barge decides to go through there. Now, you may want to go there and to watch the football, or you may want to avoid the football. So either way, I need you to write this down. The schedule for football this year, they're all on Saturdays. It's October 1st, 8th, 15th, 29th, and then November 5th and 19th. So that's six Saturdays where you want to be there or you don't want to be there. And that pretty much concludes what the Tennessee River Cruise.
Well, thank you, Bob. That's been very, very interesting. I appreciate the time you took last week and this week. Remember, the shows are archived at www.greatloop.org. You can listen to Bob again, or you can listen to any of our previous shows.
We did get a winner, by the way.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I didn't. It's kind of hard to interrupt, huh?
Did they want their name announced?
It was Larry McLaughlin, who also called in a few weeks ago with the correct answer. So
okay,
I said he's going to be a lifetime member soon.
I guess so. I guess he really knows his loop. That's wonderful. I want everybody to tune in next week. It should be a very interesting show. We are going to have two guest hosts next week, and the subject is going to be the New York State Canal System, specifically the Erie Canal and its status. We're supposed to have an announcement within the next 10 days of when the Canal Corporation feels the Erie Canal will be opened again. Our guest host will be John C. Callaghan, who is the Deputy Director of the New York State Canal Corporation. And we will have one of our many concerned members, Mr. Jim Barentine, will also be a host to represent the membership. Tune in next Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And thank you very much, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.